Our scripture reading for this morning is Genesis 28, verses 10 through 22. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night, because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down on that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you for your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and your offspring. Know that I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in this place, come to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up for the pillar shall be God's house. And for all that you give me, I will surely give you one-tenth. There ends the reading. The next is in your bulletin is a little piece. I'm going to have my wife help me with this. Now, this is two people. The first is a disciple. Disciple is one who learns and follows directions. And the other is the elder, who is basically the chief and gives direction. So I'm going to be the elder, and she's going to be the disciple. In reality, we know this is not how it operates, but we'll work it this way for this.
Where shall I look for enlightenment?
Here.
When will it happen?
This is happening now.
Well, then why don't I experience it?
Because you do not look.
But what should I look for?
Nothing. Just look.
But at what?
At anything your eyes light upon.
But must I look in a special kind of way?
No. The ordinary will do.
I don't always look. But I don't always look the ordinary way?
No, you don't.
Why ever not?
Because to look, you must be here. And mostly, you're somewhere else.
Because as you notice in your bulletin, the title of the sermon is, It's Not About the Ladder. So, here's this ladder. But I don't want you to really look at the ladder. Okay, so you're all done looking at and thinking about the ladder, right? Work at it. So if it's not about the ladder, what is it about? Tom read the story about Jacob and a ladder. But for me, it's what happens after the ladder disappears. The dust settled, and Jacob woke up the next morning. Jacob, the deceiver, was jolted into a different way of looking. He woke up with a different set of eyes, and he made a promise to God. And I think today our message is about seeing Jacob inside of each one of us, where maybe we're always looking somewhere else. And I think it's about the thought that we need to open ourselves to God, who is present here in the rocks, in one another, and that this is a God who desires not only communion with us, but commitment from us. So it's not about spectacular angels descending and ascending a ladder. It's about connectedness. So I'll start by telling you a story. In 1995, there was a small film called Smoke, and it was about a gentleman who owned a cigar store on the corner of 3rd and 7th in New York. His name was Augie Wren. And every morning, Augie would take his camera and he'd walk outside and go across the street and stand on the corner and look at his store and take a picture. And Augie did this day after day after day. And he put them in an album with the date on them. And he's got 4,000 of these pictures. And he's showing the album to a friend of his, and the friend is flipping through the pictures and flipping through the pictures, and he looks at Augie and he goes, "Augie, they're all the same." And Augie said, "Now, look again. The light is different depending on what time of year. Some days it's raining. Some days the corner is empty. Other days it's filled with people." And his friend looked again, and he saw that Augie was right. Each of these pictures with his new eyes was unique. So we could look at Augie and say he's kind of nutty, going out there every day with a camera. Or we could say that Augie has different eyes, maybe eyes that we could use. So what does that have to do with our story? We've got a story about a guy who, before this happened, has been the deceiver. He's the second twin born, and we know from our story that he's named Jacob, which means he who grasps the heel or is the deceiver. He slid out of his mother's womb, clutching his brother's heel as if to say, "Wait a minute, you're not first, me." And as they grew up, Jacob continued to be kind of conniving and always wanting to say, "You're not first, it's me." Jacob hangs around in the tent with his mom, and Esau goes out to the field, and he's a manly kind of guy. He's kind of hairy and his skin is kind of red. He loves to hunt, and Dad loves him best. This is Esau. And Mom loves Jacob. So there's this sibling rivalry thing going on. One day, Jacob is in the tent, and he's cooking up a wonderful stew, kind of like the smells that are coming from our kitchen today. And Esau is famished when he comes in from the field, and he says, "Please give me a bowl of that stew." And Jacob, ever the clever one, says, "I'll sell you a bowl of the stew for your birthright." And Esau thinks, "Oh, I'm near death here. I'm just starving. Sure, give me the stew. You can have my birthright." And he instantly regrets what he's done. But Jacob, ha-ha, the deceiver, he's gotten something by being clever and conniving. So then we go on and we find that Jacob continues in a way that is not very honest, and the brothers continue to war with one another. Esau married two women from another tribe, and they're miserable women. They're making the family miserable. And there's a famine in the land, and they're fighting with their neighbors, and life just is not really smooth for Jacob, and we don't see the presence of God at all in this story. So often in the Hebrew scriptures, it says God was with him as he grew in grace and wisdom. All we see is Jacob trying to be conniving. Well, years have gone by and their father is near death. And it's time for him to give his final blessing to his eldest son. This passes on the livestock, the land, all the household goods. And so Isaac the father calls to his favorite son Esau and says, go out and kill some animal and make me that savory stew that I love so much, and I will bestow my blessing on you. Well, Rebekah is just as sneaky as Jacob. She's been listening at the tent wall. Jacob, come here, quick. Go and get two baby goats and I'll make the stew that your father likes. And you can go in and get the blessing. Well, Jacob must have said, wait a minute, we're not going to fool him. I'm kind of scrawny and Esau's hairy and smelly. And she says, never mind. You put on Esau's clothing. We'll paste a little fur on your neck and on the back of your hands. He'll never know. He's going blind and he's kind of senile anyways. So that's just what Jacob and Rebekah did. So he does go in, and his father says, how did you do this so quickly? I just asked you for this. And ever the conniver, Jacob says, oh, God was with me in this endeavor. How convenient that God just kind of stopped by to help him make. So Isaac is fooled. He says, come near me, son. And he feels of the back of his neck, and he can tell that the clothing smell like the out of doors and like animals. So he blesses Jacob with what right to eat. May God give you the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. So he's now reversed it, and Jacob is going to be the one that is in charge of the family. Well, a little bit later, Esau came in with the stew, and he found out that his blessing is gone. All of the goods that were supposed to belong to him are gone. They've been promised, and once promised, it can't be taken back. And Esau is so angry that he plots to kill his brother once their father is dead. Well, Rebekah once again is eavesdropping, and she hears about this plan. So she says to Jacob, her favorite, why don't you run away to my brother's house and find a good wife? You'll be safe there, and you marry somebody that's not like those daughter-in-laws I've already got. So Jacob goes. His father blesses him once again for the journey, saying, may God give to you the blessings of Abraham. So the deceiver is sent on his way with blessings from his father, words from God ringing in his ears. But I would imagine that Jacob's got a lot on his mind. He's kind of running for his life. His brother is just waiting. Once dad drops dead, I'm going to kill you. He's got a wife to find. He's got a mother to satisfy. He's kind of on the run. So when he lays down that night, he's a little scared, perhaps. He's really in the middle of nowhere. There's no Tom Baudette with a Motel 6 keeping the light on. There's no Expedia.com finding him the cheapest rate. It's just the sun is going down. It's time to rest. So he took a stone and put it under his head and went to sleep. And he dreamed there was a ladder. I told you I'd get back to the ladder briefly. He dreamed there was a ladder with angels ascending and descending, and God came and stood with him. And God said, I will be with you in all of this. I will give you land and offspring. This is a beautiful, powerful dream that Jacob has. And I don't know about you, but when I wake up and I've had a really amazing dream, the first thing I want to say is, let me tell you about this dream. But Jacob doesn't do that. He kind of steps back and he looks at the rocks and the sand, and there's nothing out of the ordinary. There's no ladder. And he says, how awesome is this place? Surely God is here in this place. Jacob experienced God in the very rocks and the sand. And I think sometimes we're all waiting for our ladder to show up. We're waiting for something spectacular. We're waiting for God to do this big thing. because then we'll be sure that God is there. And if God does this big thing, then I can safely make a commitment. I can step out of my safe zone. And I'm thinking that God doesn't always show up with a ladder or angels. Sometimes it's just a rock. And sometimes it's a neighbor. And sometimes it's a bum on the streets in tattered clothes and muddy boots. And I guess for myself, I want to stop learning to look for the ladder. I want to learn to see with new eyes. I want to learn to look for those rocks. I want to learn to see that small disturbance in the sand that helps me realize God is in this place. And then as a result, I need to move forward. I need to say, because God, I sense your presence. You're looking for something from me. Just as Jacob said, I will give you a tenth of what I have. So seeing the ordinary godness does call us to respond. So I'm wondering if we can be creative in our efforts to do that. Jacob to make a promise out of his awe. And I think we need to look for those moments of connectedness. The moments of awesome awareness when we can renew our commitment to be more than we are. I don't think God is looking for us to be blazing ladders either. I think God is looking for us out of our ordinary everyday lives to respond. So I say every day we should spend a little time looking for God in the rocks and in the sand so that we might say, surely God is in this place, and then let that awe change you, give you a renewed awareness of your spot in the kingdom and how we can create it out of the building blocks that we've got right here. So don't stop looking for ladders, because I think it's in the ordinary. And I just urge you to look every day, and may it be so.